If you're listening to us, it's tuned to 101.5 WVFB FM, Kicks Country, right here in Salina, Tennessee. We're coming to you here from the historic Clay County Courthouse, the grand old lady of Clay County that's still standing since 1873, and she withstood another little bit of wind last night. Not a whole lot of storm down there. I know we did lose power a little while last night. I don't know what happened, if a tree blowed across a pole or something, but we were without power for a little while last night. But the Tri-County folks who do a tremendous job during wind, rain, snow, anything, they get out and get it fixed back up just as soon as they can. And we really appreciate those folks, because sometimes we get impatient if we're sitting around after dark without our TVs. But everything's up and going this morning, and got a couple of real interesting guests with us this morning. And we'll let them come on here just in a few minutes. And let's see. First off, though, before we do a commercial, a short break, got one announcement I want to make, and then we'll have some more when we come back, and that is that the Mount Vernon Fire Department is having a turkey hunt contest this weekend. And they're paying a grand prize of first place of $1,000. And they've got some flyers out all over the county telling the rules and stuff. And the scales, they're going to use digital scales to weigh. And I think they got to measure beards. And I don't know what all else. I think, you know, it's a good thing turkeys didn't learn to shave, or we wouldn't be allowed to shoot any of them, wouldn't we? That'd be a whole different story. I'll have to get our game warden, Mr. Moulton, back on again, maybe explain that one to us. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a few minutes when we get in a few words from our sponsors.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
If your walls could talk, what would they say? I have sent children into fits of rage.
I am responsible for a child's speech impediment.
I am the reason a child can't read. Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
I lost my healthy 27-year-old son to influenza. Jacob wasn't someone you'd expect to die from the flu. He was strong, a martial arts athlete. After 5 weeks of fighting, Jacob died.
I'm Dr. Bill Schaffner of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Each year, influenza claims the lives of Americans of all ages, including healthy young adults like Jacob. Ask about vaccination the next time you're at your doctor's office or pharmacy. Visit adultvaccination.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we are back here at the historic Clay County Courthouse. I have my first guest sitting here with me this morning, who is one of my former students, and he just said a moment ago that I take credit for some of the good things he did, but not some of the other things. But I'm glad to have him here with us this morning, and I don't know, I could probably explain just exactly what his position is now. I might let him tell us what that position is and maybe the roundabout way he got to that. We could take a few minutes to do that if you'd like, Terry.
Absolutely. Good morning, Clay County. I'm Command Sergeant Major Terry Scott. I'm currently the senior enlisted leader for the state of Tennessee National Guard. I work directly for Major General Terry Max Hastings. Essentially, the National Guard is throughout every state and every zip code within the state of Tennessee and northern Georgia, too. We have a place down there we work at. But it consists of the Air National Guard as well as the Army National Guard. We have roughly 10,000 soldiers and officers in the Army side, and we have roughly 3,500 airmen and officers on the air side. Essentially, the command aspect could be a little misleading. What I really do is I advise the general on all enlisted issues in the state of Tennessee. Now, I've got over 38 years of military service, and I am a graduate of Clay County High School.
Salina High School.
I'm sorry, you're right. It was Salina High School, the Go Bulldogs.
Okay. Now, all right, like I said, the roundabout path that you took, I know as a junior in high school, I know you were, I think I was your class sponsor then, but you dropped out and went up to Ohio or somewhere and decided you wanted to enter the workforce a little early. That didn't last long, though, did it?
Well, you know, when you're a teenager, you're a 16, 17-year-old kid, you know a whole lot more than you do when you get to be an adult, or at least you think you do. And I guess at that time, yes, I felt it would be better to enter the workforce. And halfway through my senior year of high school, I guess that was 74, 75, after football season was over, I decided that I would enter the workforce. So I quit halfway through my senior year, and I did go to Toledo, Ohio. And I worked on a loading dock, loading fertilizer trucks with 50 and 80-pound bags of fertilizer. And somewhere along the line, after about 3 or 4 months lifting those and being on Lake Erie, I made the decision I could probably do something better and longer lasting with my life than load fertilizer bags. So I came back to high school and finished.
And then from there, I know you did enroll in Middle Tennessee. I guess you didn't graduate at that time, did you?
Well, as you know, I still wasn't as mature as I needed to be. I hadn't established the fact yet that academic work and physical work are really one and the same. You have to be able to work to be successful at anything you do, to include academics. And no, I went down to Middle Tennessee State for a year and a half, and it was brought to my attention with a 1.3 grade point average, I would probably not graduate. So searching for something to do and wanting to see the world, I decided I'd join the United States Navy. And I think it's about 1977, I did join the Navy. And I went to boot camp out in San Diego, California, and spent some time out there.
Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, I love San Diego, California. I'd love to go back. The first 6 or 8.5 weeks wasn't that exciting, but the next 3 or 4 weeks that I spent out there in a basic engineering electronics school was a great time. And I learned a lot. Good culture.
And then you went into submarine service?
Yeah, I after there, I went and spent about another year and a half in school. I went to Great Lakes, Illinois, north of Chicago. Of course, at the timing on that, I think on the coast there, on the Great Lakes, I think when I left, it's like wind chill factor of 40 degrees on 15 December, and I went to sunny Orlando, where I finished basic nuclear power school, and then went back to upstate New York. And once I did all my military training from the Navy at that point, I went out and spent 2 years in Hawaii on a submarine, an attack submarine.
So but you don't see a lot of the world from a submarine, do you?
No, but I think that was when I first realized that the military was transitioning from conscription, I guess, is to an all-volunteer force at that time. You know, we're coming out of Vietnam. We were starting. We were trying to figure out how to transition, how to maintain an all-volunteer force like we have at this time. And I was fortunate enough to get on USS Los Angeles. That's a fast attack submarine that was stationed out of Hawaii. And I got to go see, and that was when it dawned on me and realized that if I wanted to stay in the military and make military part of my career, that I could actually become little bitty parts of history instead of watching it or reading about it. And that dawned on me, I guess, after their first deployment. We were repairing the submarine to go back to sea. And the commander come back down, and he says, we got 7 days to get to the Indian Ocean. And that was right after the Russians had invaded Afghanistan in 1979, 1980. And that's when I realized if I kind of wanted to be a participant in history, that the military is a good way to be a participant. And you can see that all over the world right now. We have soldiers and airmen everywhere in the world.
Right. The time you spent there, I do know that from the, you know, keeping maintaining contact with you, that you did, you began to continue your education while you were in the Navy.
I did do I did coursework all the way through my career. I think when I got out of the Navy, I spent 9 years, 4 months, and 11 days. I can remember that, in the United States Navy, active duty before I got out, and I came out with an associate's degree.
And during that time, I think you picked up a wife, didn't you?
Yes, I picked up a wife the last 3 or 4 years I was in the military. My wife, Deidre, and I always have to give her a shout-out, because anything I've ever accomplished or been able to go and do, it's been because of her. It's always been a partnership with us, and she's always supported everything. And regardless where I went in the world, I didn't have to worry about my home front, because I knew she was taking care of it for me.
With two tremendous offspring, James and Jill.
I do have two, and I'm very, very proud of them. And I'm going to knock on wood. You know, the kids work out for you. There's a lot of luck and a lot of hard work involved in it, probably as much luck as in work. But you have to have both of them. My son, James, he's currently a sixth-year junior at Tennessee Tech University. He went into the Marine Corps. He deployed to Iraq in 08, 09, and he just got back from deployment last year with the Tennessee National Guard. And he went to Afghanistan, so he's in school hopefully today writing papers. And my daughter is a third-year med student in the University of Tennessee Memphis system, but she's actually doing her third and fourth year at Erlanger in Chattanooga. So I'm very proud of that.
Okay, let's take a little short break here, and we're going to finish up on this before we get into what you're doing now, because you also wandered off into the education field on the other side of the desk before you came back to this. But right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a second.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
As an adult, you probably don't think much about vaccines, but the truth is, more adults than kids die every year from diseases that vaccines can prevent. Vaccines can prevent everything from flu to cancer. This is Dr. Bill Schaffner of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Vaccines are recommended throughout our lives to maintain our immunity. Staying up to date isn't as hard as you think. Visit adultvaccination.org for more information. That's adultvaccination.org.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
I was at work when it started. Aches, fever, trouble breathing. I was rushed to the ER with a fever of 105. It turned out I had pneumococcal disease. And even when the worst was over, it took more than a month to feel normal again.
I'm Dr. Bill Schaffner of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Pneumococcal disease is a serious and deadly infection that can strike quickly and kill someone within just a few days. Ask about vaccination the next time you're at your doctor's office or pharmacy. To learn more, visit adultvaccination.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we get back to our guest, I guess I could do a little bit more housework here. I want to, of course, remind everyone that we will be having our drawing for the birthday and anniversary cake here in just a few minutes. We've got a list of names this morning of people that have let us know their birthday was this past week, and we'll read those off and then draw a name toward the end of the program. And we want to remind everyone to, if you'd like to have your name on the list, to call 243-5574, and you'll get an answering machine here. And remember, speak slowly, clearly, so we can understand you. And then, of course, then as a secondary effort, leave your phone number in case we can't, and we'll try to give you a call back to clarify a name or any information that we need. But we'll be doing that just in a minute here. And right now I've got a couple of, I guess, community announcements to make. We've got the Clay County Mobile Food Pantry, Second Harvest Food Distribution, will be Friday, that's tomorrow, April the 8th, at the fairgrounds. And a couple of notes here, do not arrive down there before 8 a.m. And distribution will begin around 9:30, and remember that is tomorrow. Okay, and let's see, also, Liz Birch would like to want to remind everyone that there is still some grant money for the facade grant here for the downtown area, so you need to check with her over through the chamber. Remind folks that baseball and fast-pitch softball over to high school has started. And then also just a quick reminder that the Cumberland Run Cruise Inn is coming up on Saturday, May the 7th. And let's see, I did the turkey hunt just a minute ago, and I'm wondering if Mr. Parsons' cows ever came home. I know last week we were worried about his cows making it home. I hadn't heard from him. I don't know whether they made it home or not, but we may still be waiting for the cows to come home. Terry, after your hitch in the Navy, I know you came back, finished your degree down at Middle Tennessee, and went into the teaching profession for a little while.
Yes, sir, I did. My wife and I had 9 years in the Navy, and we decided when we started looking for a place to live, and pretty much my skill set coming out of the Navy would have limited me to the Northeast region. And we had a brand new son, James, about 3 or 4 months old, and we decided that we wanted to raise our children or start raising our children in a some place like Clay County with family close by. And I worked for 2 or 3 years for Kenny Burgle, heating and cooling, and then I come to the realization that I really did enjoy teaching. I did that some when I was in the Navy, so I went back to Tennessee Tech and got my degree, and I taught for 7 years at Clay County. I taught math and physics, and very, very rewarding experience for me at the time. And then my wife and I made the decision that we wanted to move to the a different region, so we moved to Cookeville, and I taught there for several years. I think I got like 16, 17 years in the education system.
And then the military called you back.
The military called me back. I deployed to Iraq in 2004-05 with the 278th Armored Cav Regiment. And then I come back, and I got to another unit, and that unit got notified that we're going to mobilize. And I was working full-time for them. And then I just kept picking up a few full-time jobs until the Adjutant General tagged me for this job. And this job started about 2 years ago.
And The thing over in Chattanooga, so-called preparedness, that type thing, are you involved in any of that, right? I know there's some changes going on, and the National Guard is going through,
We are going through a transition after that happened, and the fact of it is, obviously, we can say what it is, but we're from St. Augustine, California, Chattanooga, we are under attack from certain elements that we have to defend ourselves against. It made us take a look at ourselves statewide to make sure that we were taking the appropriate actions to make sure that our armories and that our soldiers and our recruiters were protected to the best of our ability. We did a comprehensive evaluation, and yes, we have made changes. And I can't really go into the details of the changes, but we did do a comprehensive evaluation to make sure that we were protecting our soldiers and airmen.
I know that, that feeling of confidence that you and I grew up with, it's really not totally there anymore. I mean, it's taken away from us, but it seems like we feel maybe there's a little bit of a chink in our armor when it comes to some of these things that are happening around us, and we don't want to become part of that in a major sense. I know we've had some minor things happen in our country, but and I think that change probably was a definite good change for really the, I guess, the public feeling toward the National Guard that, you know, we need something like that sometimes to kind of remind us of things that we forget.
Well, yeah, and you don't want to see it done in that fashion. You wish that we could all just appreciate what we have. But the fact of it is that sometimes it's really, really hard to appreciate what you have until you paid the price for it. And it's like anything else. You want to accomplish, there's always a bill that you have to pay to get that. And everybody wants to say that this is, you know, the countries I've been in, this is by far the greatest country. And we are lucky to live here. You're lucky to live in Clay County. We're relatively safe. You know, you look at what's going on in the Southwest Asia. You look what's going on in Europe and Africa. You know, we're just really, really fortunate to be where we're at. And, yes, we have been under assault. We'll continue to be. There's a lot of people, you know, I used to think everybody just wanted to grow up and be happy and be left alone. But the fact of it is there's people in this world that just dislike us because who we are. They don't really have a reason. It's just for whatever reason, you know, some people just want to hate, and that's bottom line.
You know, and I think, too, the National Guard, reserves, with the, I guess, with the Gulf War, the, I guess, the public attitude, the public conception of what that was actually changed, because I think that was maybe one of the first time, I guess back maybe since Korea, that we actually called up National Guard that went into combat areas.
Well, and that's a good point, because when the National Guard, when the Army came out, or when the military came out of Vietnam, there wasn't a good feeling about the military. We were transitioning to an all-volunteer force. There was a guy by the name of General Creighton Abrams at the time, Chief of Staff of the Army, and he come to the realization one of the problems he felt like we had in Vietnam is that we did not take the country to war with us. It was isolated individuals that were going to fight, and he came to the conclusions in order for us to go to war and get the support of the American people, which is what we have to have in order to fight a long, protracted war, that he has to make it some way that the communities of the United States go with him. And he realized the National Guard was an asset that he could use by putting more emphasis on us, and in a mobilization or a major conflict like the last ones we've had, you know, the first one we had in the early 92s when we, the Iraqi War, the first one, first Gulf War, we called up a lot of elements. We called a lot of elements up from Tennessee. And that takes the whole country to war with you, and it provides you that base of support you have to maintain a protracted engagement.
This citizen soldier once again became something that was to be proud of, wasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there was at one time, a lot of time in Vietnam, stuff like that, people going into the National Guard and some of the reserves in order to avoid combat duty. But somewhere along the lines with General Abrams in the 70s and 80s, it became that we have to become a strategic reserve, and we have to train and maintain our professionalism to the same level of the active Army. If there's one thing that's been demonstrated over the course of the last 15 years, the National Guard can compete and do as well as any other force out there.
You know, I think that too, was surprising to the average citizen on the street that, you know, their neighbor now who was over here plowing the garden last spring is now in full battle gear in the desert in the Middle East.
In the Middle East, in a combat zone. And not only were they there, were they doing that, and it made, like I said, it took and made the country more involved, but it also demonstrated that the professionalism that the National Guard soldier has, and to be honest with you, I think the National Guard soldier and the National Guard airman is a better asset to the government, because they're more mature, and they also have other skill sets that they can utilize, such as being an electrician, being in refrigeration. It's just they don't have one thing that they can do. They have a variety of things, and they bring a diversity to the fight.
You know, like unlike the last, you know, the last major war, World War II, where we, you know, we began by drafting 18 to 25-year-olds, who a lot of them didn't have like you said, the skill set that the National Guard has, and they basically had to be trained from zero, and they were, you know, they were trained mainly just to be robotic.
They were, yeah, you're absolutely right. As I look back over the course of my career, and I've got 38 years in, look at the changes. Like I said, initially the National Guard didn't have a very good reputation. Right now the reputation of the National Guard is comparable to any of the active duty Army units that we have. And really, like, we've shifted from that strategic reserve to an operational reserve. You know, they're utilizing right now. If you look what's going on in Europe, Tennessee's going to have several thousand guardsmen rotate through Europe and things like Denmark, Poland, Estonia, Bulgaria, Romania. We will have soldiers rotating in and out there all summer to supplement the regular army because they have to have it.
Okay, let's take a little short break, and we'll come back, and we're going to let you get in a plug for the National Guard here, which is part of the reason you're here this morning, other than the fact that I just want to sit down and talk to you while I haven't got to talk to you for a few days. But we'll be back just in a minute. But right now we need to work us in a little money deal here for this station so we can keep us going every Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock. And want to remind everyone to tune in at 101.5 this afternoon and listen to the rebroadcast. Right now, let's take a little short break, and we'll be right back.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
For those with mental or substance use disorders, what does recovery look like? It's a transformation. It's a supporting hand. It's new beginnings. When does recovery start? It starts when you ask for help and support. Join the Voices for Recovery. Speak up. Reach out.
For confidential information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have sent children into fits of rage.
I am responsible for a child's speech impediment.
I am the reason a child can't read.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home was built before 1978, log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. I guess right now we need to take care of our birthdays and anniversaries for this past week, and we've got quite a nice list here, so we'll go through those. We've got this past week, we had Mary Ann Moore, who was celebrating a birthday, and Carter Lynn Davis from his mom, dad, sisters, and the rest of the family. And then Joseph White, mom called in to wish him a happy birthday. And let's see, we've got also this past week, we had Wesley Walker and Zach Roberts celebrating. This is from their family. And Anna Eisenberg celebrated a birthday on the 5th. And let's see, we had one wedding anniversary, Bobby and Billy Stone celebrated a wedding anniversary, and this is from their daughters. Christy Beasley, who turned 4-0 this past week. And then we have twins, Ron and Don Haston, who had a birthday last week. Tara Anderson. And then Whitney Goad. These were all best wishes from friends and family. Deborah Craighead, Emma Strong, and then we have a couple of ladies from out at the Clay County Rehabilitation Center. I'd like to wish happy birthday from their friends out there, and that's Martha Strong and Robbie Jones. And we'd like to wish them a very special happy birthday wish for this past week. And also, I want to wish from down Jackson County, Anna Mae Cole, who is a Pea Ridger also, who lives down in Jackson County now, who celebrated a birthday this past week. And I want to remind everyone once again, if you want your name on this list with a chance to win the ice cream cake from out at the Dairy Queen, a very nice ice cream cake, that you need to call 931-243-5574, or you can send an email to courthouse at OED website, info-ed.com, and we'll get it from there. And we'll draw one of these names out here in a few minutes. Right now, Terry, the official reason you're here this morning.
The official reason I'm here this morning is to make a plug for Tennessee National Guard. Before I do that, I'd like to thank Mr. Thomas Watson for inviting me and giving me this opportunity, because the fact of it is, Thomas was a very important figure in my life. He was a mentor before I really knew what a mentor meant. So he gave me some good advice, and actually I've been fortunate in my life, and I've been fortunate in my career, and it was nice knowing that you played a part in my life. Thank you for that, Thomas. The other part is the National Guard, and I can give you all the details. I can tell you about the Montgomery GI Bill. I can tell you about the pay. I can tell you about it's a great part-time job with full-time health care benefits. Those are great things, but I'm going to give you a name of a recruiter in a minute. I guess what I really want to do is I want to challenge. If you really want to do something and you want to be part of history, you want to help be a part of the world changing, an opportunity is presented to you in the Tennessee National Guard as a member of the Tennessee National Guard. I would encourage any of you, especially you high school seniors, if you're sitting there and you're looking at your career and you don't know what you want to do halfway through your senior year, look at the military. It will give you good benefits. It will give you education. It will give you an opportunity to grow, see cultures that you've never heard of or never thought you'd know. And there's no greater educational benefit or no greater education, in my opinion, than getting to travel around and experience and deal with different cultures, different people, because the people are the interesting things in life that you're going to have to deal with. So with that said, here is a name and a number. And I know I'm cutting into Mary Lloyd's time. That's okay. Thomas says that's all right. So I guess what I want to say to you, if you are interested in becoming part of something that's bigger than yourself, what I would ask you to do is call Staff Sergeant Larry Litchfield at 931-310-9875. That's Staff Sergeant Larry Litchfield, 931-310-9875. And with closing, I want to thank each and every one of you for what you do in supporting the Tennessee National Guard. God bless you.
Thank you, Terry. It's been a pleasure having you here this morning. Right now, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
I lost my healthy 27-year-old son to influenza. Jacob wasn't someone you'd expect to die from the flu. A martial arts athlete. After 5 weeks of fighting, Jacob died.
I'm Dr. Bill Schaffner of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Each year, influenza claims the lives of Americans of all ages, including healthy young adults like Jacob. Ask about vaccination the next time you're at your doctor's office or pharmacy. Visit adultvaccination.org.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
As an adult, you probably don't think much about vaccines, but the truth is, more adults than kids die every year from diseases that vaccines can prevent. Vaccines can prevent everything from flu to cancer. This is Dr. Bill Schaffner of the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases. Vaccines are recommended throughout our lives to maintain our immunity. Staying up to date isn't as hard as you think. Visit adultvaccination.org for more information. That's adultvaccination.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Great having Sergeant Scott here with us this morning. I can't get used to, you know, sometimes the military thing, because, like he said, he kind of grew up around Faye and I, and he's kind of one of our children when we first started working in the education system here in Clay County. And it's a pleasure when you see someone that has accomplished from the point of where you saw them when they were seventh or eighth grader in junior high to the point that they're at in their life now and the things that they're doing. And it makes you feel worthwhile about maybe you did something right along the line when you were in the education field. Right, Ms. Renault?
Right. We hope that we did.
I know you have a number of hats you work on under also. I know, first off, the Clay County Museum is a special interest to you, isn't it?
It is. The Clay County Museum was established actually during Homecoming 86, what Governor Alexander did, and we got our building built, and it's been going long. And I've been on the board since, the late 90s, I guess. But
one heck of a parade, wasn't it?
That was. We really had a big homecoming parade. We could parade out around the square 40 times and never get everybody there.
I'm telling you what, that was something else.
I know it. We spent a whole year getting ready for it and everything. But if it hadn't been for that, we probably wouldn't have the museum. But, as time goes on and everybody that is on the board of directors are involved in it, with the exception of a Title Five person that helps us out, everybody's volunteers. So a lot of times it's hard to move forward quickly. You can move forward, but it's not very quick.
Okay, what have you got going on over there? I know you were in the process of trying to organize things.
Well, that's what we're in the process of doing now. I've been to... When I first came back from Alabama and became the president, I got to looking around and couldn't figure out what all this stuff was we had out there. So we're in a process of trying to identify and get an inventory of everything we have out there, because until we do, we can't set up exhibits or anything. So I've just gotten back from a three-day Tennessee Association of Museum meetings in Nashville, and we've gotten grants from them for the last couple of years, because there are certain ways that you need to protect all these pictures and the artifacts and stuff we have, and we are just learning that and are trying to get that done as we make our inventory, which
is expensive.
What about
the announcement down there last night with the new State Museum?
Yes, I've known about that for more than a year. It's going to be really nice when they get that done.
I think yesterday was the official announcement.
Right. I think that was the groundbreaking thing of it and everything. And we talked about that at the State Museum. But, you walk in the museum, and one of the first things when people say, well, we're just looking around, there's a picture of the old town of Willow Grove on the wall. Well, there's a little card on it that says... donated by or a living history for somebody. And I'll ask somebody, you know what that picture is? And they'll say, some little old town something, whatever. They don't know, really, because we don't have anything that explains that. And that's what we're trying to do, is to make things more familiar. When you walk in, there'll be something that will describe everything you're looking at, which takes a long time. And, of course, I tell them, well, that was the town of Willow Grove that was covered up in the lake. And then they say, oh, you mean that one that's under the lake right now? They said, oh, they leave all these houses up. And I said, no, they tore everything down. and everything. And then I show them some other pictures and everything. So that kind of leads to it. But we're trying to get it, I guess, what you call friendly. So when you walk in and you walk through, everything you look at, there'll be a description of it, either where it came from, what it does, where we got it, and that kind of stuff.
I know we had a picture that went on Facebook of the foundation work of the old school up there that just had all kinds of views and once again stirred up a little bit of interest in this. And so many people, you know, I think there's a couple of books, the town that disappeared and things
right.
like that are out here in this area. But, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, so many of things that our oral history is dying. And we need to get it from oral into some type of written material or digital material or something, don't we, in the next few years.
Right. And that's one of the things that the Tennessee Association of Museums is trying to get everybody to do a lot, is to go out and interview people and set up DVDs and get things where we've got it either on DVDs or in writing, all this history that we don't know. And in going through the stuff at the museum, I found two, those VHS tapes, those square things. Okay. I never know if they're VHS or UBCs or whatever they are. And they have like 10 or 15 veterans that have been interviewed. And so I have them, trying to get them over onto individual DVDs so that we can set up a library. So if somebody you're interested in, you don't have to go through the whole tape to find it. You just put it out, throw it in a DVD thing, and watch it there on the television and everything.
And I know over the years when we did our musical out at the high school,
I get
calls all the time on that. Did we have video? Yeah, we had videotapes at one time. Of course, people borrowed them, then bring them back.
Right.
And those things deteriorate. Doug Young now has a bunch of Freeman's old tapes.
I was just talking to him standing outside here, and he said he was waiting till the weather got a little better to get them to somebody because he's afraid they may be, a lot of them are ruined.
Yeah, some of those. And if anyone over the years, if you just say little snippets of things like
right.
that, if we can get bits from a whole lot of people with today's digitized things, you can put those things together and
they can redo them now once you can get the stuff together and everything. Well, you know, the picture of the foundation of the Willow Grove Schoolhouse was in the paper last week. That was done in, I believe, early October of 2008. Well, they should have waited until December. I have pictures where the lake went on down, and Johnny McLaren and Joanne and Corinne and I all went out on the lake, and I have pictures of Corinne and Joanne standing on the front porch. I mean, it was completely out. You could step down a step and everything and see it real good because it's something to see when you understand what you're actually looking at.
Okay, let me ask you about the microfiche stuff. Mary Lloyd, I know there are all kinds of documents that are stored in national microfiche, but apparently that's a tremendous process to try to transcribe it into something else.
Okay, let me tell you what we've just done, and we just got them back. We had a stack of billfish bugles out at the museum, maybe 4 foot high. Well, until I got there, they let everybody go through them and look at them, and they were tearing them up and ruining them. So when I started this in 07, I said, nope. Nobody can touch these anymore. So what we finally got around to last year, took us a long time, we put them in numerical order. And we had papers from 1911 through the late 40s. We had over 1,000 copies of them. Well, I had made connections with the State Museum and everything, and so I took them down there, and they put them on microfilm for us. And as the process went on, I got acquainted with people here yonder and made connections with people, and I got us donated a microfilm reader. So now we're just getting ready to put something in the paper about it probably this next month, that you will be able to come out there and look at some of the papers and everything. We've got to figure out how we're going to do it because we just don't want to say everybody come because everybody come the first day, and we can't take care of them. But that's, we have all of those on microfilm. And then I have found a lot of the papers from that date up until the papers that are here have gotten started, another 100 or so, and there's like 10 or 15 different papers by several different authors and publishers and everything that we're going to get put on microfilm too.
What was the name of Mr. Nanny's? Was it the Globe?
Well, I have to look on my thing. There was a Globe, and then there was the Salina Globe. There was the Salina Messenger. There was the Salina Star. And some of these we just got one or two copies of, but we at least have them. Guy Johnson did one. And I've got all the publishers of these later papers after Bill Fisk. I've got the whole list and everything. So it's quite interesting just taking the time to go through that.
Okay, let's take a little short break here and come back just in a few minutes. We need to get in a message or two from our sponsors. And if you'd like to be a sponsor on this show, give the folks a call up there, and you can find their number. You can probably use 270-487-0969 to give them a call, or they've got an email address, and be a sponsor on this show for us. We need you. We need support from everyone here in Clay County to keep this show up and going every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, we'll be back just in a minute.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Tri-County is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
We're back. Mary Lloyd is still here with me, and she's got some more exciting news to talk about. We were talking about the microfilming of the old newspapers here when we went to break. Mary Lloyd, you want to continue there?
Yes, we had a stack of Bill Fisk bugles. And a lot of people may not know about the Bill Fisk Bugle, but the earliest paper we had that we, when we sorted them, was 1911. And they ran all the way through the late 40s. And we put them all in numerical order. And I talked to the State Museum and Archives, and they have put them on microfilm. And you need to be watching the paper pretty soon, because we're going to be telling you how you can come out and look with those, because I also got donated to the museum a microfilm reader, so we can put these newspapers on and you can read them. Some of them are real good, funny articles, funny how the paper looked, what the different things they had in them. We have over 1,000 copies of the Bill Fisk Bugle on microfilm out there now.
And in those days, big news was someone, if they rode their wagon from Willow Grove down to Salina to visit Uncle Joe. I mean, that was news in those days.
Right. It has a lot of it's funny to read the things, and one of the things that I, of course, maybe just because my name's Renault, that I always look at is who was serving in the offices, the county offices and the city offices and all that kind of stuff. But it's amazing what you can run up on Aunt Sari came to visit Joe Blow, and he had so-and-so, and they brought their horses and all this kind of stuff. And then when it comes political time, all the political ads that were in them are very amusing a lot of times.
And Mr. Fisk that did the newspaper, was he from the original Moses Fisk family?
Yes, yes,
That's what
he is. He is. And Bill Speck, who lives in Livingston, his mother was a Fisk, Marie and Ray Speck, who lived here, and that's where they came in, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know that's one of the, you know, the original names in the territory.
It is, because Moses Fisk, daughter Salinas, who it was named after and everything. And the funniest thing, I was at a meeting in Franklin for the, I'll put another little plug in, for the United Daughters of the Confederacy this past month, and somebody said something about Salina, and I said, well, I'm from Salina. And the lady says, well, I'm kin to the Fisk, and I've got something that we need to bring to the museum and everything. Do you know about that? I said, yes, ma'am. This lady standing right with me is married to one of the relatives, just like you are. So you never know when you go someplace and are at meetings who you're going to meet. And a lot of times they have associations with Clay County. You'd be surprised.
I'll tell you something else, too. Whenever you go on vacation, no matter where you go, make sure you take you a Homecoming Days T-shirt or a T-shirt from one of our cruise-ins or something here in Salina. And I guarantee you, no matter where you're at on your trip, when you walk through a dining hall or something, there'll be somebody there that'll wave that hand at you and say, hey, I know where Salina is. And
you know, that's really true. Back in the 70s, my mother went to Europe, and she was on this tour, and she got to talk to these people that was with her and everything, and they asked her where she's from. She says, well, I'm from Tennessee. And they said, well, we got a daughter down in Tennessee, some lake down there. And she says, well, where was it? And she says, I'm from Salina. She says, that's where it was. And they were down at Jack Huddleston's on a houseboat, and there they were in London, England, you know, and they find somebody, you know. And so you just can't go. If you talk to somebody 2 or 3 minutes, you'll find some connection.
I don't know. We spread out everywhere, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure have. Kind of like Terry, you know. He's been every place in the world just about, and I know he always finds somebody or some connection or something with that.
We got anything else new going on over there?
At the museum?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a new sign up, and it's from, it's about the Webb family. A fellow by the name of Larry Webb that lives in Franklin, Tennessee, for years now had worked on a book about the Webb family, where they came from, wherever they came from across the waters. Because what everybody don't realize here is everybody came from someplace else, even us. And he has done all the background on it and has a book out. And he did one of the plaques that you see around town that tells about the Civil War. Well, this one's on the Webb family, and he gave us this. We just put it in this week. So if you're out by the museum, there's an extra one right beside the Civil War one that tells about the Webb family and where they came from, and got pictures on it and everything. And then we do have the book inside that you can look at and find if it's some of your relatives. And every time I talk about it to somebody, they says, well, we're kin to them too, you know. And I said, well, come look at the book, and you'll find your name someplace and everything. So that's but, you know, for somebody just to give you something like that, because he spent a lot of money and a lot of time doing this, but if you're interested in the book and you'd like to have one, or you're a Webb, you let me know, and we'll get you in touch with him.
Okay. All right. Now, let's change hats.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Daughters.
The Daughters, United Daughters of Confederacy. Well, that, of course, that fits in right with the museum, because it's all history. And every day I learn a little more about how Clay County was affected by the war between the states. And one of the things that's very unusual is that one of the last skirmishes and stuff, nearly everything was over, there was a skirmish here in this county. And we call it the Battle of Indian Graves. And what it was, A.L. Dale, who is one of the sons of the Dales that the lake's named after, and six of their sons went to the service five of them came home, and I know where they all are buried and have pictures of all of them, tombstones, except the one that did not come home, who was named William Jackson, and he is somewhere on either Lookout Mountain, Missionary Ridge, or somewhere in that way, because his brother saw him got killed, and he dug a hole and put him in it, could never find him. And what happened is, they ran up a bunch, his unit, he was a captain, ran up on a bunch of Union coming this way, and they were up where they call the Gates Ford. Well, the Gates Ford's about where the one stop is up there. And they chased them. Of course, there wasn't any dam or anything. And they chased them all the way across the Peterman Bend and across this and that and crossed the river again up at Horse Creek and chased them all the way. They told how many they killed and all this kind of stuff. And chased them all the way, they said, to Hillham. So that was one of the last really skirmishes and stuff with the war between the states. But I traveled the state quite extensively with the United Daughters of Confederacy because we have objectives. And it's educational, historic, patriotic. And we are there to help preserve, to help anything that is connected with the war between the states, to preserve it, keep it alive, because the war between the states is what made this country what it was. Probably if we hadn't had that, we wouldn't be as strong of a country as we do. But we have district meetings in the three grand divisions, and in the last month, I've been everywhere from Richmond, Virginia, to Parsons, Tennessee, from one end of the state of Tennessee and all the way up to Richmond to a special thing. And actually this weekend I've got to go to Knoxville. I happen to be custodian of the flags for the Tennessee Division of the United Daughters. So that means anytime they're having an event and they need the flags of our organization, I get to take them.
It gives you an excuse to go everywhere.
It gives me excuse to go everywhere.
As if you needed it.
I know, but the worst thing about it is some of these, of course, most of them are on Saturdays, and a lot of times I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to leave to get there, especially when you go to...
Who are you?
When you go to East Tennessee, you know, you change times, and so it kind of makes it harder. But anybody that's interested in Confederate stuff or the war between the states, just give me a call at the museum. I'm trying to help some of them find some relatives and this kind of stuff. So just let me know, and I'll sure help you.
All right. Look like we've got a couple minutes of our time left, maybe. And I want to get you back again when we want to talk about, I know your family owned the boat dock.
Holly Creek.
Up at Holly
yes.
Creek for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
and you've got some history on that.
I sure do.
We want to start looking somewhere along the line down here, try to get in a couple of old fishing guides, if we can find some of the older guides that talk about, that knew the river before the dam was there.
Right.
That type thing, and let you talk a little bit about that also.
Well, you know, my dad was born at Fox Springs, which would be on the left-hand bank of Mitchell's Creek. But
I just drawed the name. Birthday anniversary cake winner this week, Mary Ann Moore. We got to get that in before we
cut us off.
Mary Ann Moore. And you will need to come out to the Clay County Chamber and put yourself there, and you can get a certificate and take that certificate out to the Dairy Queen, and they will present you with a great big old ice cream cake. We're about time to wrap up today. Mary Lloyd, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Glad to be here, Thomas. Anytime. You know I can talk just like you can. We can take it on.
And it's great having Sergeant Scott with me this morning. We want to tell everyone that, of course, we're on here every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And we hope we'll meet you again on the radio here next week at this same time on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country, right here live and direct from the historic Clay County Courthouse at 100 Courthouse Square in Salina, Tennessee.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.